just saw another. This must be Wednesday night. I don't want to preach both of them. Let me make sure I got the right one here. Yep. That was Wednesday night, so I'll tuck that right back here. And today you're going to be turning in Isaiah 26. And while you're turning there, I'll preface this sermon just like I prefaced last week's sermon. I'm taking some phrases that I'm not saying they're bad phrases. I don't want to tag anything, but I'm just saying phrases that we hear from the media or from this world's philosophy just over and over and over. And I preached one last week, and I'll say it again here in a second. And I'll go ahead and say it now. It was a biblical view. And that's what all these sermons will be, a biblical view. Because we're going to hear these, I guess, statements, phrases, from the end of time or until they at least get up, you know, think up some other phrase. But a lot of times what I don't like about phrases are like that, they exclude God. Again, not necessarily a bad phrase, but they just exclude God. And today is the same thing. The thing that we're going to talk about today is a for real thing. It's not that I'm saying it's wrong, that you shouldn't say it. It's a real thing, but it should not exclude God. So last week we preached on a biblical view of my body, my choice. And of course, people have grabbed that and said it's okay to be a murderer. And again, according to the Bible, it's not okay to be a murderer. And now even in our day and time now, you get a choice of what you want to be, right? Or you can be undecided, or you can choose something else, because my body, my choice has morphed into all kinds of stuff. In other words, excluding God. It's my choice. I can do this. I can do that. We ought not exclude God. Same thing today. We're preaching a sermon on a biblical view. And again, it's out there like crazy. You see it on, I guess Oprah's a thing anymore, but you know, shows like that. And they talk about this over and over and over. And it's a biblical view on mental health. Mental health. And again, it's a for real thing. There's diagnosed problems with that. I have mental issues. All right, I'm a redneck, so I have mental issues, right? I'm from the South, and so I talk like I have mental issues. And so it's a for real thing. Sometimes a situation will cause that to happen. But again, I think things that they have out there, medications, whatever, if it'll help you, that's great. But let's just not exclude God. Okay? If you'll take what the doctor says to do and add God to it, a lot better chance of you being okay. But they just talk about this, I'm going to have to take 6 months off work for my mental health. But try it. we'll pay you. Fishing, hunting, sleeping in. I have mental issues. Pay me. And I can't tell you that because I have to come preach on Sunday. But anyway, y'all stop paying me. We see here a biblical view on mental health. That's what we're going to talk about today. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me just to get out of the way. You preach through me. And Lord, I know obviously that's the devil's plan. Maybe this world's philosophy's plan is just inundated us with just statements that have nothing to do with the Bible to exclude you. And so, Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, as Christians, not ever to exclude you in any issue that we face. In Jesus' name, amen. So Isaiah 26, we're talking about mental health or mental wellness, some people call it. And God promises you in the Bible that you can have it. Okay, so I'm not saying, again, this, oh, we just have to give up on it, or I'm just going to have issues. No, you can have mental health. You can have mental wellness. Let's just, again, add God to the situation. So Isaiah 26, let's look at verse 3. Here's a promise that God tells you that you can have mental health. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him. So this is God doing his part. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's a definition right there of mental wellness or mental health. In other words, you're at perfect peace. There's no anxiety. There's no issues. There's no regrets. You're at perfect peace. Why? Because we're going to have anxiety about certain things. Let's grab what God says. He'll help us cope with it. We're going to have regrets because we make mistakes. But let's grab what God says in the Bible, add that to those mistakes, and we can have perfect peace. So again, we just need God. And God says here, I will keep you this way. I will help you have mental health. I will give you perfect peace. To who? To whose mind is stayed on thee. And some of you might say, well, that excludes me. But anyway, whose mind is stayed on thee. So in other words, because he trusts him. So we have three statements here. Number one, God will keep us in perfect peace. That's his part. A lot of us are problem solvers, or we want to be a mom over everything. We want to fix stuff. And again, if you try that, you're going to lose your mind because you can't fix everything. There are certain things you just got to give to God. And you will just bang your head against the wall trying to fix. And you're like, oh, no, there's some things we just got to give to God. And God says, I will keep you in perfect peace. But what you need to do, here's our part. Your mind has to be stayed on Him. In other words, anyway, whatever situation we're dealing with, whatever anxiety we're dealing with, whatever we're dealing with, we need to bring God into it. Say, my mind is stayed on Him. God, what do you think about this? God, what does your word say I ought to do about this? So when we bring God into it, that's when we do our part, and He says, okay, I'll do it. But if we try to do it without Him, we're not going to have that perfect peace. We're not going to have that mental health. We're not going to do it. But then it says here that because He trusts in Him. Because He trusts Him. So God will do His part with giving us perfect peace. If we'll do our part with having our mind stayed on Him. That word stayed there, basically, back in the time that this was written, there was more ships that had ropes and pulley system and things like that, not like military ships. And that stay was basically a rope that secured the main mast of that ship. And again, you wouldn't want that main mast to be loose. You wouldn't want it to fall. You want it to be stayed in its place. And so that rope, and that's what God says here, if you'll fix your mind on me, in other words, let it support. Let what God's word and God says, let it support you. Let it bring you the success. When that ship made a voyage, it was because that stay, that rope, kept the mast up there so the wind could blow the sails. It did its job. It was secure. It wasn't moving. It was intact. And so forth. So it did all those things. It remained. That's what, if our mind is stayed on Him doing our part. Then it says here, He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because, here's the key, we trust Him. So it does good for both parties here. If we trust God, God looks down and sees us trusting Him. And that makes Him happy. It's kind of like a parent. You teach your kid something and you're watching your kid without him knowing it or her knowing it, and you see them do what you've taught them to do, or they obey. You're like, that's good. Awesome. My wife and I, we tried to do that practice with our kids. We knew if we caught them doing something wrong, we were going to lose it. We were going to blow a gasket. We were going to teach them, that's wrong. So we said, okay, if we're going to do that when they do something wrong, let's do that when we catch them doing something right. And so I caught them a couple times, you know, growing up. They went to church every day, every time we had church. I caught them a couple times helping a Sunday school teacher, a lady Sunday school teacher, move chairs. I think we had to do that this morning. They were moving chairs, and she hadn't asked them. She was just doing kind of like our Sunday school teacher was doing, moving them herself. and they're, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, let us help you. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. I would kill them for throwing chairs at each other or swinging from the chandelier at church and trying to land on the chair. I would blow a gasket for that, but they're actually moving them for Mrs. So-and-so without being asked. And so I praised them for that. And so that's what we see here. God says, hey, trust me. And then we don't trust Him. He's like, ugh. I told them to trust me, and they're not. But if He sees us, my mind is stayed on you. And I'm trusting you. He looks down and says, yep, they got it. I'm going to bless them like crazy. So that's what this verse is saying. If you want to have mental health, mental wellness, God says, hey, you can have it. If you'll just stay your mind on me and I see you trusting me, I'm going to bless you. Let's look at another verse. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. But perfect peace is the strongest mental health you can have. Matthew 22:37. If you'd like to write these verses down, you can. But Matthew 22:37 says this. Again, we're looking by way of introduction what the Bible says about mental health. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto them, or unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So we're talking about mental health. People that say they have mental health issues and they're not going to make it, probably because they don't trust God with all their heart, and all their soul and all their mind. They're trying to figure out it on their own. They're trying to implement some of the world's philosophy in it. They're trying to say, well, what does so-and-so think? Or how's this going to make me more popular? Or how's this going to help me make more money? Or how's this going to make me feel good? In other words, they put all the world's philosophy in there and it's not going to happen. But if that person says, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, you can have perfect peace. Verse 38 says this, this is the first and great commandment. God says, this is my number one commandment. Love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what I want you to do. And if you'll do that, you're well on your way to having mental health. Not having mental health issues. You're going to have strong mental health. These people that could care less about God might be the reason they're having those issues. Verse 39 says this, and the second, talk about commandments. And the second is likened to the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Whew, that's hard to do. Because we love us some us. Now, some of you enjoyed the mirror time this morning. All right, both my hairs are looking awesome. They're placed perfectly. All right, I don't have anything in my teeth. My glasses are clean, no smudges. I was doing all that this morning. I may have flexed a little bit. I'm not sure, Egyptian biceps and all that stuff. I don't know. All right, my wife comes in there, laughing. I'm just kidding. But all of us love us some us. We like us. We want us to be happy. We want us to be safe. We want us to be cared for. But the Bible says here, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not just talking about next door on the left and right and across the street. It's talking about everybody. So just like I said last week, my body, my choice, I don't hate anybody. Okay, I'm Jesus. He came to the earth because He loved everybody. And it didn't matter who they were, what they were, what they were doing. He wanted to save them. So it doesn't matter who they are, what they look like, or what they're doing. I am supposed to love them. Not agree with them or not participate in their practices, but love them enough at least to tell them about Jesus. So we see here that if I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I love my neighbor as myself, we're talking about mental health here. So when we see, I guess we've heard this phrase, I have, when people are having mental issues, they just say, hang it. Just hang it. I'm out of here. Listen to what verse 40 says. On these two commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself, on these two commandments, hang all of the law and the prophets. So in other words, what everything that Bible says and everything that we've ever heard a preacher say and teach, if it's right, if it's in the Word of God, hang it on all of those three things. Love God with your heart, soul, and mind. Love everybody else and do what the Bible says. So talking about having health, how to have mental health. I love God, I love my neighbor, and I love the Bible. Number three, as far as introduction, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, casting down imaginations. And so we see here all of us daydreamers. The Bible says, be careful with that. Again, I've done it. I've been driving, daydreaming, and pull up in my driveway and go, how did I get here? Now, it may have been I was sleeping, but daydreaming sometimes. So at work, I mean, 30 minutes will pass and we're like, whoa, what happened? I was daydreaming. So same thing. This is what the devil wants you to do. He came to Eve and said, God hadn't said, or God didn't really mean that. Just think about this. If you eat that fruit, you'll be like a God. And he got her thinking. And her imaginations was going crazy. That'd make God happy. I'll be like a God. So give me some. So the Bible says here, cast those things down. Anything we might hear the media say, anything we might read in a book. Again, if it's not in the Bible, I'd be careful about it. If it's a person that you can trust, it's one thing, but cast down those imaginations, those what ifs. This is what the devil wants us to do. What if I married somebody else? That's not good for your marriage. What if I quit this job? Probably not good for your bank account. What if I just pitched a fit? Probably not good for your relationship. Cast those imaginations down. The devil's just trying to get you going all kinds of ways. Think this way, do this, you're not happy, make them mad, da da da. No, cast those imaginations down. That's what the Bible says. Cast down the imaginations, those what ifs. And then it says here, and every high thing that exalts itself. So not only am I supposed to cast my imaginations down about wacky stuff, all the things that exalts itself, I'm supposed to get rid of it. Here, the worldly philosophy exalts itself through commercialism, through so-called media friends and things like that, promotes itself. So cash that down. Our public education system exalts itself. And even though they can't get people home before 10 o'clock on a bus system, but they got it going on, right? And then you are really from a monkey, and you know it is your choice. Then they got it going on. All those things that exalts itself, cast them down. Politics, oh my soul. I mean, this is not the fix. I mean, I wish we had a different president, and I'll probably vote for a different one. But just if we do get one, that's not going to fix it. Okay? It's between us and God and the church house, not the White House. So we see here all those things that exalts itself, cast them down. The worldly philosophy, educational system, politics, false religion. They exalt themselves. This is a way to heaven. There's a God source out there. You just pick one. Religion exalts itself. So if you trust in the world philosophy, educational system, and politics and false religions, you do need to be put in the cuckoo bin. You're going to have mental health that you can't control. So we have to trust in God. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what they're doing. They're saying we know better than God. The public school system kicked God out. The worldly system, the church and the state, philosophy and politics, they kicked God out. So they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Then it says here, right here, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that verse has got a lot to chew on. We see that we're supposed to cast down our imaginations. Anything that exalts itself against God, cast it out. And then bring into captivity every thought. Some people, you do the head shake. You know, you're daydreaming about something that doesn't matter, and you're actually driving down the road, so you go, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I got to pay attention. Or you hit the rumble strip, or you know, somebody honks at you. Blah, blah. Right? In other words, you brought it back into captivity. You're in control. When your wife's telling you stuff, and you're like, and then she asks you to repeat it back. We're in trouble, all right? We got to bring into captivity. I thought I told you what we're going to have. Yeah, I remember that. Anyway, we're supposed to bring into captivity every thought. To what? To the obedience of Christ. I got an illustration about this verse. Casting down imaginations, those what ifs, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's like a jalapeno pepper. All right, that got your attention? I love jalapeno peppers. All right, you got your jalapeno pepper, and you get you some cheese whiz, all right, or some type of cheese. I like cheese, and you fill that jalapeno pepper up, and we're on the right track here, all right. We're casting down imaginations, we're getting rid of anything that exalts itself against God, and we bring it into captivity. We take a piece of bacon and wrap it around it. Oh my soul, all right. That's what this verse is saying. All right, if you'll do all those things, you're going to have something that'll blow your mind. All right, y'all hungry? But anyway, we see here jalapeno pepper, cheese whiz, and a piece of bacon. Put it together, and wow! Cast down imaginations, get rid of anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into captivity to obedience of Christ. What does the Bible say? How does God want me to do this? Boom! You have mental health. So run it through the God filter. Anything that you come across, run it through the Jesus filter. Run it through the Bible filter. Run it through the Holy Spirit filter. So Paul practiced these three tips. Paul practiced, he wanted to have perfect peace. Paul wanted to love the Lord with all his mind. Paul wanted to bring into captivity every thought. Remember what he said? This one thing I do. That's what he was doing. Bringing into captivity right here. Yeah, I got a past, but I want to forget about it. Right? Yeah, I got a future. I'm going to go to heaven. But I got to do some things before I get there. He brought it right here. Paul practices. Acts 26:2 says this, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. There was a few so-called preachers out there, power of positive thinking guys, things like that. Again, you got to put Bible principles in there too. You can't just think myself a millionaire. Think myself a millionaire. Check the bank account. Not going to happen. All right. Think myself spiritual. Think myself spiritual. Have you ever read the Bible? No. Have you ever listened to the Holy Spirit? Mm-mm. Not going to happen. So you can't think yourself into all these things, but you can think yourself happy. And what was he doing? He was thinking about, I got a past, but it's under the blood. I got a future, but God wants me to do some things now before I get there. And so he brought it into captivity and ran it through the Bible filter. And it says here, I think myself happy. He was talking to King Agrippa. King Agrippa was fixing to have him imprisoned or killed. And he said, all right, what you got to say for yourself, Paul? He said, well, I just think myself happy. All right. Can you imagine standing in front of a line of guys with guns with them pointing at your head, finger on the trigger? I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Or you're going down to the hall and the jail cell's fixed lock. I think myself happy. This is where he was. And it says here, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day. I mean, this guy was mentally strong. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day. Not what the world says, not what the public school system says, not what politics say, not what Aunt Susie Q says, but I'm going to speak for myself this day. Before touching all these things, wherefore I am accused of the Jews. And of course, we won't take time to read it, but from verse 2 to verse 22, and I'm going to read verse 22 in just a second, but I'll paraphrase what he said between 2 and 22. He was mentally strong, fixing to go to prison or at least die. But he was mentally strong. He wasn't having a panic attack. He wasn't freaking out. He wasn't crying. Why? Because he had perfect peace. If they kill me, I'm in heaven. All right? I've heard preachers say that. John R. Rice, I believe, was preaching somewhere, and he's a great preacher on soul winning. Guy put a gun in his belly when he tried to give him a track. And he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. He was happy. And that's what Paul was. Kill me, put me in jail, whatever. And I'm mentally strong. Why? Because I've run it through the filter. And then he says, because I was a sinner and on my way to hell. And not only that, I persecuted Christians. I worked against God. I'm giving you a paraphrase of what he says. Then on the road to Damascus, I met Jesus face to face. And I admitted that I was a sinner. He already knew that. I admitted I'd persecuted Christians. He already knew that. But he forgave me. And then I tried to do some work for him, but I was mentally weak. I was mentally depressed. I was like, why am I supposed to be preaching? Why am I supposed to be doing anything for God? I used to. God's like, Paul, what sins are you talking about? I forgave you. I forgot them. Go forward. He's like, brought into captivity. God's right. God said he forgave me. God said he'll never bring them up again. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're in the sea of forgiveness. They're behind God's back. He will never bring them up again. Mentally strong. I'm going forward. That's what he did. He practiced it. And see, he said, this one thing I do. God help me in this one thing I do. I forget those things back there. I'm reaching forward to the prize. And now I'll read verse 22. Acts 26, 22 says this. Having therefore obtained help of God. He got that perfect peace Isaiah was talking about. He got some help from God. All right? He got help. He said, having obtained help from God, I continue until this day. This is how to have strong mental strength. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I talked to God this morning. I read His Word this morning. He let me know that He's with me. Man, what a day. I got strength to face whatever I need to face, to handle whatever I need to handle. This is what Paul's saying. I'm witnessing today, both to the small and to the great. It don't matter. Saying none other things than this, which the prophets of Moses did, shall say should come. And so what Paul was saying was, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I have a relationship with God that's awesome. I know what this book says. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to witness today to the small, the great, and I'm going to just keep doing that till I stand face to face with Jesus. That'll give you mental strength to handle anything. Why? Because anything else that's trying to bide for our time doesn't really matter. Okay, health, take the medicine. Do what the doctor says. But don't leave God out. There's people today laying in the hospital bed. Got a diagnosis. They're taking medicine. But the best thing that they could do is lay there on their back and say, Lord, I'm not trusting this medicine. I'm not trusting that doctor. I'm trusting in You. And that'll make them strong right here. Because that doctor can come in sometimes and say, I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing else I can do. Oh, you can lose it right there. But if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and that's just the avenue God wants to get you from point A to point B, I'm okay right here. I'm okay. So Paul practiced mental health. And it says here, I don't talk about the past anymore. I talk about the future. That's what he was saying. David practiced these three things. I got to hurry because I got to get to my points. David practiced these three things, these three tips. I want perfect peace. I want to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. And I'm going to bring into captivity every thought. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says this, and David was greatly distressed. So I'm not saying that distress doesn't come and depression doesn't come and problems don't come. David, the mighty king, the one that killed Goliath, was greatly distressed. I get it. For the people spake of stoning him. I mean, they were ready to kill him. And David's like, man. I mean, if somebody's just mad at you, you know, it probably upsets you. But they wanted to kill him. Stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. So what I'm telling you is, if you need to take medicine prescribed by the doctor, take it. But don't let that be the only thing. In other words, what David did, it says here, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So in other words, take a pill, read a verse. All right? Get some rest or whatever the doctor said to do, but then meditate on the Word of God and how God can use it. This is what David did. Just like the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, tell us to comfort one another with these words. The context here, they had lost some loved ones and things like that. But we're supposed to comfort one another with these words. They were talking about, hey, the rapture is going to come and we're all going to be back together again. So we can comfort ourselves with the Word of God. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So, real quickly, I got about 15 minutes here to give you these points. That was my introduction. Here's the statement and then some points underneath it. So how do we have mental health? By controlling your thoughts and how you think. By controlling your thoughts and how you think. What the Bible says? Bring into captivity every thought. So we're supposed to be in control of what we're thinking. Now again, for instance, if that firing range was sitting there pointing at you, you couldn't say, you know, think. I remember when my oldest son was born. My wife and I had to go to the hospital, take a tour of the hospital. This is where you'll be. This is what will happen. This, that, and the other. And then for me to be in the operating room or the delivery room with her, I had to go to a Lamaze class. All right? Oh, my goodness. I can still do it. All right? So if you need to have a baby real quick, I can take you through the breathing stuff, okay? All right, so I was okay with the breathing because I played sports. In through the nostrils, out the mouth. That's how you get your breath back real quick. So she could hee-hee-hoo if she was having labor pains. But then they said, okay, now this is what you need to do. You need to bring some stuffed animal from home or some picture from a vacation you had. All right, and then you hold it at the end of the bed and you let her picture that stuffed animal or that picture and you let her go to that place in her mind. And I'm like, what? All right. They lost me. All right. Me and Lamaze, we stopped at hee-hee-hoo. All right. None of this focal stuff and thinking you're somewhere else. That's not what Paul did. Paul didn't say, I'm somewhere else on the beach with the breeze blowing in, you know, both my hairs and all that kind of stuff. He didn't do that. He just said, if I die right here, I'm going to heaven. Bring in the captivity. So control your thoughts and how you think. Number one, by letting God help you with all your thoughts. By letting God help you with all your thoughts. And the Bible says in Psalm 139:23, here's David talking to him. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So what's going to help you be mentally strong is talk to God about it. God, am I freaking out here? Am I having some anxiety here? Am I losing it? Talk to Him. Try me. Know my thoughts. I guarantee you He will help you better than any psychologist or psychiatrist in this world. God, it says here, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So, number two, by letting God be in all your thoughts. By letting God be in all your thoughts. These verses are better than any medicine you can take. Proverbs 10:4. The wicked through the pride, or their pride, of their countenance. will not seek after God, and God is not in all their thoughts. So you can see somebody that if they're prideful, I can figure this out myself. I don't know why this has happened. I mean, they're prideful. You can see their jaws locked, their teeth is gripped, their eyes are squinted a little bit. They're trying to handle it on their own. But it says here that then they won't stop that. Why? Because of the wickedness of their heart. They're not seeking after God. But if this person says, I want God in all my thoughts, they just got some horrible news. But the jaw didn't lock. The teeth didn't grit. The eyes didn't squint. And I've seen people like this, and they were asked, how are you handling this situation? God's got it under control. Why? Because He is in all their thoughts. So number one, by letting God help you with all your thoughts. Number two, by letting God be in all your thoughts. Number three, by letting God show you the wickedness of others' thoughts. So in other words, there's some examples in the Bible how not to think. God's saying here, I'll help you. Ask me to. Let me be in all your thoughts. It'll help you have mental strength. And here's some examples in the Bible of people that did not do this. They had wicked thoughts. Genesis 6:5 says this, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination wasn't cast down. It wasn't brought into captivity. It was running rampant. That every imagination of their thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5, right before Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was told to build the ark. Everybody in the world, their imaginations ran wild. They weren't brought into captivity, and their thoughts were evil. I mean, again, that's just what's going on in our world today. But God wants to be in every thought. Number four, by letting God show you what to have in your thoughts. What to have in your thoughts. I don't want to have evil imaginations continually in my thoughts, but what am I supposed to have in my thoughts? Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Very familiar verse. God's telling us how to think here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Run it through the Bible filter. Don't freak out in your mind on things that are not true. If it's not true. They've always said the person that can tell counterfeit money has never studied counterfeit money. They've always studied real money. So when the counterfeit comes, they can tell by the sight, they can tell by the feel, they can tell by the smell, just like that. Why? Because they just studied the true. So that's what the Bible's saying here. If it's not true, don't worry about it. Well, you should have heard what so-and-so said about me. Was it true? No. Well, then don't worry about it. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will pray. I'll take care of that. Well, I got to get even, or I got to show them. No. If it's not true, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. If it's not honest, if it's not just, that's just not right. If it's not just, don't think about it. If it's not pure, I mean, again, this worldly system with magazines and commercials and internet sites, if it's not pure, get it out of here. People that put stuff in here, data in, data out, they look at stuff they shouldn't look at, read stuff they shouldn't read, it's not pure, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go nuts because you know it's not right. You know you shouldn't be looking at it. You know you shouldn't be reading it. Get rid of it. If it's not lovely, if it's not of a good report, did you hear what so-and-so? No, and I don't want to hear what so-and-so did. Don't tell me. I'm bringing into captivity. I'm keeping my mind pure. I'm keeping my mind clear. I don't want to hear the latest gossip. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I like to think about, we've had 4 people saved in the last 2 weeks. Woo! That's awesome to me. All right? Yeah, there's probably 5 or 6 people, or way more than that, 5 or 6 million people that are not saved. Only thing I want to think about that is I want to try to get the gospel out to them. But if it's good report, think on these things. That's how to be mentally strong. Verse 9 says this, these things, talking about thinking about those true, honest, just, good report things. These things which I have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace that one that can give you perfect peace shall be with you. So by letting God show you what to be having your thoughts. Number next, by letting God show you what not to have in your thoughts. Matthew 6, 24 through 26. Real quickly. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. This sounds like somebody that's not mentally strong. Why? Because they're trying to serve two different masters. In other words, the kid that tries to obey at home but lives like the devil at school and out in the neighborhood. They're trying to serve two different masters. You're going to lose it. What did I tell? What did I say? But you're trying to keep up with all the things you're trying to hide. You're going to blow it. But if you tell your parents the truth and you live like the Bible says when you're out in public, there's nothing to try to keep up with. You're going to be strong. Because what you said to your parents is the same thing you said to your friends. Not what you said to your friends, oh, I better not tell my parents that. Trying to serve two masters. And that's what the Bible says, because you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't serve God and you cannot serve money. The love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible says in verse 25, therefore, I shall say unto you, take no thought. Right there in the Bible. The Bible says, don't even think about it. Take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat. Right now, some of us are thinking about, because I said about the jalapenos, we're thinking about lunch. The Bible says not to do that. In other words, bring it into captivity and say, hey, I might learn something in church. Not, ooh, that roast beef's going to be good when we pull it out of the crock pot. Or, wow, that Mexican restaurant's going to be, or that chicken. Listen to what the preacher's saying. That'll help your mental strength. That chicken, yeah, it'll be good for your food or your belly in a little while. That's what it says. Take no thought for what you shall eat or what you shall drink or yet for the body, what you shall put on. Some of us took more time thinking about our outfit for the day than we have about God. Does this match my shoes? Does this belt go? Again, nothing wrong with matching. Yeah, I think you ought to look nice. But don't think, yeah, I don't have a tag under here, amen? All right? But Don't think so much about your outfits, what it's saying. But it says, is not life more than the meat and the body more than raiment? Verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not more better than they? So God will take care of you. So a lot of people, again, I'm not saying don't think about these things. Because the Bible, it says that, that this is the temple. And if you're not supposed to have sugar, don't put it in there. You're not supposed to have gluten, don't put it in there. Okay? Think about what you're supposed to put in there. Again, you open the container and it's been in the refrigerator. I wonder how long this has been in here. Oh, my soul. Don't eat it. Well, it still looks okay. What kind of thinking is that? Throw it out. I came here this morning and put some juice in the refrigerator, and the juice that was in there was yesterday's date. I'd be all right. That just means sell by, right? Okay? I don't know. I poured it down the drain. I wasn't drinking it. I didn't want any of you to be spewing after breakfast fellowship. Okay? Well, it's just one day. No! So you are supposed to think a little bit before you put stuff in here. That's not what it's saying. Just eat whatever, dirt, worms, tree leaves. You'll be all right. No! But it's saying that, you ought not love money. In other words, I'm better than you, because last night I went to this famous restaurant in New York City and I paid $250 for my steak. That's what that's talking about. I got to eat a certain food to keep up with the Joneses. You can't serve God and mammon. That's what it's saying. Okay? You don't eat what you eat. A lot of people, they'll get on a kick of some type of diet and they're going to post it. They're going to take pictures of it and post it. They're going to tell you till you're tired of hearing it. It's all about why? Because they're just focused on that food. You don't exclude God. Then it goes on to say, he's not saying don't think about what you eat. Don't think about this. The Bible says that we shouldn't put anything in this temple. Then it also says don't even think about what you wear. Again, I think your socks and your tie should have met. Okay, They should know each other. I wouldn't wear orange socks and, you know, a green tie. That might be fall. I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, nothing wrong with that. So think about it a little bit. But what it's saying here is in Exodus 28:42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from their loins even unto their thighs." Okay, so according to the Bible, from here to here ought to be covered. Okay, or according to the Bible, you're naked. Okay, so we ought to think. Okay, nobody comes in here in their birthday suit, okay? Please. All right? We ought to think. Well, God said, don't even think about it. So I didn't have time to think, so I just came in my birthday suit. That's not good philosophy. All right? So think about it. Take no thought. So I'm better than you because I paid more for my food. Or I'm better than you because I paid $5.50 for these Jordans. There's been people killed over shoes. That's what it's talking about. They're serving God, not God, but they're serving mammon. Boom, I got to have those shoes. I got to have this. I got to have that. I'm thinking. And that's what the world does. They commercialize everything. I got to have this type of brand, or I got to have this much expensive. Take no thought in that. Eat and wear clothes, but don't get all consumed with it. We're talking about mental health. Mark 13:11 says this, "But when they shall land," when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought. Right here is in the Bible. Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, then speak, for ye shall not speak but of the Holy Ghost. All right? So, according to this verse, it says, don't think about what you're going to say. And a lot of us are good at that. Right? We open mouth, insert foot, or we wish we could grab it and put it back in. That's not what this is saying. Some preachers even say this. I don't have a concordance. I don't have Bible dictionary. I don't even study. I just get up, open the Bible, and the Holy Spirit gives me what to say. What do they do with the verse, study to show thyself approved, so that you can rightly divide the word of truth? So it's not saying don't study. Look at the context. They were fixing to be killed, beheaded, martyred. And so it says, you know, what would I say if I was going to get... Don't. Just be, it's all right. If they're going to martyr you, I'll give you what to say. I'll give you how to stand for Christ. I'll give you what to say. So we can't take it out of context. The Bible says to meditate on the Word of God. So we're supposed to study. Know how to witness. Number three, not to think more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man with a measure of faith." So, according to the Bible here, we're not supposed to think about what we eat and drink and eat and wear. And we're not supposed to think about what we're going to say right before we die if we have to. God will take care of all that. And we ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I've seen this in athletes. I've seen this in comedians. I've seen this in actors. They get a certain persona that they're known for, and they got to keep it up. I mean, Robin Williams was probably one of the funniest people in the world. What did he end up doing? Committing suicide. Couldn't be funny enough. Couldn't make people laugh enough. Committed suicide. There's been movie stars that's done everything they've done to get the money. Money, money, money. Buy a house here, buy a house here, buy a house here, buy a house here. Get all this. Been married 16 times. What do they do? Commit suicide. It's not in that. Take no thought in that. We ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I'm going to read you a couple verses and we'll be through. Philippians 3:12-13. Just putting the Bible filter out there. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Paul is telling the Philippians this. Don't think that you've arrived. You're perfect. "But I follow after that which I am apprehended that, I which also am apprehended of." That's Christ Jesus. Ran it through the Jesus filter. Verse 13 says this, "Brethren, save people. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth towards those which are before." Talk about mental health. Don't think of yourself more highly. I'm the perfect Christian. I'm the best Christian in the church. I'm the best Christian at work. I'm the best Christian in my family. I. Kind of sound like Satan when I got kicked out of heaven. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't think you've attained. You're perfect. Proverbs 27:2. "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thy own lips." So according to the Bible, it wouldn't be bad for a guy, let's say he won
He went out soul winning and he won 10 people to the Lord. Those 10 people are going to heaven now instead of hell. That is awesome. We could say, praise the Lord, God saved 10 people. But we ought not say, you know, I'm super soul winner. I'm a great this. You just follow me and we'll be good. No, but it wouldn't be wrong for another person to say, I went with brother so-and-so or Miss so-and-so. They're an awesome soul winner. They led, I watched them lead 10 people to the Lord. That's what this verse is saying. It would be better for that to happen. So bring it into captivity. Don't think about how I can promote myself, but how I can just be what God wants me to be. 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, I know that. I know all about that. If any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. I'm just reading the Bible. Yet as he ought to know. If we think, man, I know it all. I've got it all figured out. You're going to have mental problems. I don't trust God. He's got it all figured out. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I got it. I'm okay. I don't need any help. Boom. That's what this verse is saying. Galatians 6:3. If a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So according to the Bible, we ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. So don't think of yourself more highly. But let's reverse that. I've seen mental issues in this area too. Don't think yourself more poorly than you ought either. I've seen people with issues thinking that they're super Christian and they don't really have it all together. But I've seen these people that think, well, I'm nothing. I don't deserve to do anything. I'm just a piece of trash. No. According to the Bible, we're putting it through the Bible filter. You are created in the image of God. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you're saved, you are a new creature in Christ. So don't think of yourself more poorly than you should either. We're talking about having mental strength. I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but I'm a child of God. I don't know everything, so just ask me and I'll spend an hour telling you. But I know God and He has the answer to everything. That's what we're talking about here. Mental strength. We're created in His image. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a new creature. 1 Kings 19:4. Great Elijah that called fire down from heaven and burned up everything. All the water, all the sacrifice, all the wood. Just woof. And everybody, man, what a preacher. What a prophet of God. Then he hears this one woman wants to kill him named Jezebel. And he goes, hides under the juniper tree. And then 1 Kings 19:4 says this. And Elijah was under that juniper tree and just said, God, take my life. So he lost it. He was thinking about, oh no, what's Jezebel going to do? No. If God can send you fire from heaven and lick all that stuff up, He can take care of one woman. So don't have mental issues. And last one, and we'll stop with this. Philippians 2:5. Very familiar verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So according to this, this is the mind of Christ. This says that He holds this higher than His own name. This says it's going to last forever. Okay? And we had a Sunday school lesson not too long ago, I think. We ought to put ourselves in stuff that's going to last forever. Put yourself into people. That'll last forever. Especially if they get saved, they'll go to heaven. Put yourself in the Word of God. It'll last forever. We ought to do those things. So, let this mind be in you. We're going to say how, and I'm going to boom through some verses and we'll be done. How? By reading it. By studying it. By meditating on it. By memorizing it. By hearing it taught in Sunday school. By hearing it preached at church. By having conversations about it. By letting it be spoke to you through the Holy Spirit. And by putting it into practice. That's how we know the Bible. Let this mind be in you. Here's some examples of the right kind of mind according to the Bible. We're going to look at this real quick. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, have a willing mind. This is kind of like doing push-ups, doing chin-ups, doing weightlifting. This is putting things in that's going to make you be stronger. So here's some barbells or here's some exercises that we can do to have a strong mind. Be willing. In other words, willing to listen. Willing to do what God says. Willing to live like a Christian. Nehemiah 4:6. The people had a mind to work. You know that. They rebuilt the wall. They had a mind to work. This will help you have a strong mind. Have a mind to work for God. Psalm 8:4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? In other words, let God be in all your thoughts. Always think about God. It'll help you have a strong mind. Acts 20:19. and they had humility of mind. They were humble. Romans 12:2, they had a renewed mind. In other words, sometimes we go to a revival meeting or we'll go to church or we'll read our Bible and we're pumped up. But just like that car runs out of gas, we'll run out of gas. So if we want to be mentally strong, we need to renew that mind. And then Romans 14:5, have a fully persuaded mind. 2 Corinthians 7:7, they had a fervent mind. In other words, they were on fire for God. Philippians 1:27, they had a striving together mind. We can do this. Philippians 2:3, they had a lowliness of mind. We need God's help. Philippians 4:2, they had the same mind. They were in one accord. Let's work together. Let's all be focused. Titus 2:6, they had a sober mind. 1 Peter 5:2, they had a ready mind. Whatever you need me to do, I'm do it. I'll do it. I'm ready. 2 Peter 3:2, they had a pure mind. Those are examples of the right kind of mind that God wants us to have and will be strong mentally. Here's some examples of the wrong kind of mind, and I'll be finished. Romans 8:5-7, they had a carnal mind. They didn't please themselves. They didn't please God. They wanted to please themselves. They had a carnal mind. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, they had a shaken and a troubled mind. They were easily deceived. Oh, God wants us to have a strong mind. 1 Timothy 6:5, they had a corrupt mind. They were destitute of the truth. Hebrews 12:3, they had a wearied mind. They were easy to faint. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. James 1:8, they had a double mind. This is what's going to get you messed up. They were trying to mess with the world and trying to please God. Can't do it. So, do you have a strong mind today or a weak mind today? And I'm speaking spiritually. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany's coming. We'll have an invitation. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, we can show you from the Bible how you can be. And anything that the Holy Spirit spoke to you about today, you can pray right there in your seat or you can come pray in the altar. But let's have a biblical view on mental health. Brother Derek.